The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. That was very good. We, as you know, we get 12 days to celebrate the season of Christmas, and today is number 9. We'll have 9 ladies dancing later. It was just over a week ago that Jesus was born, and he's already 12 years old. Have you ever thought about how little of Jesus' life we really know? We have a lot of details about the last 3 years of his life, but little of the first 30. For whatever reason, those first 30 years, other than Jesus' birth and these few verses we hear today, don't seem to rate any coverage. There are writings about Jesus as a boy. The infancy gospel of Thomas tells stories of Jesus startling other children with his divine powers and bewildering his teachers with his adult-like wisdom. But we never hear these stories in church, and they certainly are not in the Bible. In fact, there seems to be little interest in how Jesus grew up, how he was influenced by his family and community, or even what he did or said as a young person. The Nicene Creed we say most every Sunday bears this out too. The Creed speaks of the three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God the Father gets one sentence, Holy Spirit gets two, the Church, baptism, and resurrection each get one, and Jesus gets a whopping 10 sentences, but there is precious little said about his life. Pay attention when you say the creed today. You'll see what I mean. Jesus was incarnate from the Virgin Mary and became human, and then he was crucified. There's nothing at all about the miracles or the healings or the teachings. Nothing about Jesus being the pattern for our lives. The Bible is that way too. The second chapter of Luke's Gospel that we read from today begins with Jesus' birth and the story we hear each Christmas Eve. Next, Jesus is 8 days old when, according to Jewish law, his parents took him to the temple to be circumcised and presented to the Lord. So that's good. We have good coverage for the first week of his life. But that's it. It goes to the very next thing in Luke's gospel, which is what we heard today. We skipped 12 years, and it will be another 18 years before we hear anything else. This incident in Jerusalem is all we get of Jesus' life until he begins his earthly ministry at age 30 or so. One passage, and a strange passage at that. What's your reaction to hearing that a child's been missing for a day? What parent or grandparent these days could ever imagine not noticing that a child had gone missing? When we think of this in our own context, it sounds like taking a road trip to Disneyland, packing up, and then heading home, only to notice when we stop at the Taco Bell in Ashland that one of the children is missing, and frantically returning to LA and searching 3 days before finding him waiting in line for the Matterhorn. But it wasn't like that, not at all. Life in first century Palestine was nothing like 21st century life in the Pacific Northwest. The pilgrimage Jesus' family made to Jerusalem each year was something every faithful Jew did, which meant everyone in the entire village joined in. And as the crowd journeyed on, other people joined in too. You see, back then, people lived fully into the reality that it takes a village to raise a child, and all children were cared for by all the grown-ups in their midst. It wouldn't have been unusual for Jesus or any other child from Nazareth to be traveling with someone other than their nuclear family. There was no concept of nuclear family back then. So while our first inclination might be to be horrified by Mary and Joseph losing track of their child, their behavior was perfectly normal in a world where every adult looked after every child. As it turns out, and as usual, the one with the unusual behavior was Jesus. It seems he did not understand how in the world his parents could possibly have wondered where he was. He offered no apology, no remorse, not even a hint of regret for doing something that had his parents in a full-tilt panic for 3 solid days. He only had questions for them. Why are you searching? How could you not have known where I was? How could you not have known where I was? Can you imagine Jesus asking you that question? Searching for Jesus and not being able to find him is something that has as much to do with us today as it had to do with his parents 2,000 years ago. Sometimes it feels like we search and we search and we search for Jesus and cannot, for the life of us, find him. And then we tell ourselves there's something wrong with us. After all, Jesus promised, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So why, we wonder, can't we find him? Can't we feel him? He's right here. Or so he says. But sometimes we can't tell. If we think of Jesus as the light of the world, he should be pretty easy to spot. If we think of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, we should feel his protective presence. If we think of Jesus as the gate, we only need to walk through. If we think of Jesus as the bread of life, maybe we just need to come to communion. But for some of us, or maybe most of us some of the time, Jesus is hard to find these days. We're constantly bombarded with bad news. We're emotionally exhausted by a pandemic that won't go away. and we're worried about our families and our friends. For the first time, several people in our congregation are at home in isolation because they've been exposed to COVID over Christmastide. It seems like things are getting worse instead of better. So, where is God in all of this is a perfectly reasonable question. But Jesus asks questions in return. Why are you searching? Did you not know that I would be in my Father's house? My favorite translation puts it differently. Did you not know that I would be about my Father's business? It wasn't where Jesus was physically located that mattered. It was what he was doing that mattered. And what he was doing was his Father's work. This is important information for this community, especially now. We long to be in a different place, in the beautiful, holy, sacred space of our church, a place we sometimes imagine God lives. We long to sink into the comfort and familiarity of that place, to close our eyes and let the liturgy wash over us, especially now when comfort and familiarity are in short supply. And while I am grateful that we have a safer place to worship here in the parish hall, I too long to be in the church. And still, it's not about the place. We come to church for so many reasons. We need strength for the journey throughout the days and weeks to come. And we'd like just to be able to sink into what we have always known. And we can't. It's not just because we're in the parish hall instead of the church, but because the world we have always known, the world we thought we knew, is no longer. Yes, we are still held in the ritual of our liturgy, our history and our tradition, and at the same time, we're being invited into something entirely new. That's not particularly good news for all of us. It would be so nice just to go to church and the church without a mask and close our eyes and sink in, take in all the smells and the words and the sacrament. But we can't. So, we can curl up in a chair and be sorry about that, or we can wonder about the amazing new thing God is calling us into. God willing, we'll go back to the church, but the world cannot wait for us to bring the presence of the living, loving God until we can worship in the church or stop wearing masks. This little story is something I think we really need to pay attention to. We get one story in 29 years of Jesus' life, and from it we learn that being about the Father's business is precisely where we will find God. It's easy to glance over, and perhaps that's what we'd prefer to do. We are weary. But who will be the face of love? Who will bring the good news? Who will do God's good work in the world if not us? This isn't about muscling through this. This is about seeking God and resting in God and doing a good or mediocre or even bad job of connecting with God when God feels far off. And still trusting that God is right here and that you are the face of God for every single person you encounter. I know the struggle of searching for God, and that struggle is holy. I know that God can feel absent, and I've learned that feeling God is only a bonus, that recognizing God's faithfulness is what is life-giving. Maybe that doesn't sound like good news to you, but it is, because it means God is right here, right now, whether or not we feel it. Yes, we need to create quiet so we can listen. We need to pray honestly and tell God how we feel. We need to worship together and receive communion in order to be nourished so we can be about the Father's business in the world. And we also need to remember that nothing can separate us from God, not a pandemic or nasty politics or living in a culture that can feel devoid of kindness and caring. When we are doing God's good work in the world, Jesus tells us, we will encounter God. And that, my dears, is nothing short of life-giving. Amen.